Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testing?
Testies?
Testies. 1, 2, 3.
Nah.
I don't know shit about fuck.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit fat podcast.
I like China.
You work with retards.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
You are.
Welcome back to Legit Bat Podcast, and we are live on YouTube. We'll try to do both at some point, YouTube and Rockfin, but that's a little above my pay grade. I have trouble doing one thing at a time, so you're lucky to have one platform. But to the audio listeners, you can find our shows. We're going to be doing, well, trying to live stream every show on YouTube now until we get kicked off. And the last time we got a video,
that might be tonight.
It was with these guests right here. It's Nate and Thomas from Reality Czars, and Thomas also from Paranoid American, which I was listening to earlier, and he does the comic books and all those things we've talked about before last time we were on. But why don't you guys... Oh, I'm Joe, and Jen's here too. Ben,
hey.
Should be jumping in later, maybe. We'll find out. But why don't you guys give us a quick rundown of yourselves and plug anything you want to plug before we get going?
We're the Reality Czars. We talk shit. We get people kicked off of YouTube. It's been happening more lately. I've been on a couple other people's shows, and as soon as they put it up, it gets fucking struck and they get in trouble. I don't know if it's me or just some
or
of the retarded
things. Maybe
that
background that you have. I don't know.
Might be.
Could it be that?
Yeah.
Just
no, it's everything. Because you say Jew and other stuff, so.
Oh, no.
I say all the words. I have no filter, which is probably unfortunate and probably limits some of my audience. Some of the comments I get are like, what the fuck? And, you know, other people love it. So those are my audience. Those are the people I play to. So if you like a weird fat Mexican that talks a lot of shit, come check out our show, The Reality Czars. Also, Thomas is amazing. And we're working on a project together. So everybody go to doesbigfootexist.com.
That's nice. Right. And I am the one that toes the line between the two of us. I know how to play by the rules. I've been in the military. I've worked for Disney. I've worked in corporate America. So I know how to play the censor game that Nate's still learning. Nate's figuring out. He grew up in kitchens. So what are you going to expect from a freaking chef other than a mouth like an absolute sailor and no filter, right?
It's true. Hey, I'm a machinist now, so it's not any better.
That actually might be a downgrade as far as the sailor mouth goes. I mean, when you're in restaurants, you got to, be careful around customers and shit. When you're a machinist, you can just let loose.
What up, retarded faggots? Funny.
That's why they call us the back of the house. Because unless you're in like an expo kitchen and people can see you, like, because that's the new hippie shit, right? Where you got the expo kitchen, everybody gets to watch them, everybody gets to see them cook and stuff. But back in the day, your ass was in the back. You could go, like, smoke cigarettes. You could do some cocaine. You could go and have sex with a waitress in the walk-in. You could do all kinds of wild shit. Like, it was a fucking madhouse.
Now you can't do that because you're worried the chick is a dude, and or... if it's a chick, we'll just tell on you, and then you're fucked and me too'd. So, it's not a free world like it was back in the restaurant days.
It's true, dude.
Well, don't pick on the inside, you bigots.
Maybe. Depends, I guess. Depends on what time of day it is. Well, it looks like Ben just dropped in. Ben, say hello to the folks so that everybody can see your face.
Hello, everybody. Something. How you guys doing? Nathan, fantastic. I know.
What's up, brother?
I know I've seen you and we've talked. Paranoid American. Can't say I remember you. I apologize if I was on when you were on.
No, nice to meet you, man. I don't think so.
Nice to meet you too.
What do you guys want to talk about tonight? Thomas. But you can just call
you just
Paranoid
totally
American.
Doxed me. We're out here in public, bro.
Hello. Hello, Thomas.
I think this isn't live.
Hey, I didn't say your last name.
It's not a secret. It's not a secret.
No, I know. It's on your Instagram pages and stuff, so it's fine.
And they introduce themselves that way.
Yeah.
You've already said your names. No big.
Well, what do you guys been looking into lately? Like, what are we? This is what I love about live shows. We can just do whatever. Not that we don't when we're not live, but you know what have you guys been looking into that's really been eating at you? I know politics, probably. I'm not talking about the debate, and I'm not talking about illegals eating pets. Those are the two rules.
We've been big in the Bigfoot for the last year or so, going down every damn nook and cranny and different historical and cultural aspects. I mean, honestly, it might even be a good place to get a litmus check on how everyone feels about Bigfoot. Like, if you had to rate them on 1 to 10 or something, like, where would you put Bigfoot?
I just have really quick. So your website is doesbigfootexist.com.
Correct. And that'll bring you to a Kickstarter sign up page for a comic book. Yeah.
How in the fuck was that available?
I don't know.
That's insane. There have been so many Bigfoot enthusiasts for decades and decades, and that website existed. It was available.
It wasn't the first one. There was a bunch of others that we tried first, but yeah, it was the best one that I think was easy to remember. Doesbigfootexist.com. Yeah. It's hard to forget that one.
Bigfoot for Dummies. So on a scale of 0 to 10, I'm familiar with this game. It's called Do You Want to Do Some PCP, which is, what was it? What does that stand for?
The Paranormal Conspiracy Probe.
Okay, yeah.
But really, it's just a way to say that you're going to do PCP on YouTube, which is fun.
Oh, yeah. That won't get us kicked off. I could say a couple things that would, but that won't.
I know some of the triggers, too. I won't drop them.
So 0 to 10, does Bigfoot exist, or how do I feel about him, like with his massive schlong and or pendulous breasts if it's the female? I think as far as existing, I would say 10, but I would have to qualify that with, I don't think it's a fucking ape man walking around the woods scratching his ass and eating bark off trees. He could be doing that also, but I think it's more, there's something else to it. You're either extra dimensional, or he's like the, what do you call it, the Chewbacca of aliens. They dropped him off and they're like, you're retarded, go hang out in the forest.
Or one of the forms that interdimensional beings take when they come here, who knows, but 10 out of 10 for me too. There's so many possibilities on what it could be though.
Right, it exists, but to who knows what extent.
I know we haven't explored the entire world or oceans, but I don't think that Bigfoot necessarily just like lives in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe there's an easy place for it to come into this dimension and go back, but it doesn't just camp out there, because I think we would have found it by now.
Or at least some bones.
Ben, how do you feel about Bigfoot?
Oh, on a scale of 0 to 10, I would be at Yowie. I don't know that I buy into it any more than I buy into anything else, only because I feel like part of it is just at this point, manifestation of common lore mostly by people doing PCP, who, because either they believe that it exists or because of other things, that is what they end up seeing. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I'm totally open for the idea that it does. I'm just really on the fence with that one. I would put it at a solid 2.84.
That's what kind of what I meant by who knows what it is. I think people are seeing something, but is it the same as seeing a gray alien or a reptilian or something? I think those things exist, but is it just in their minds? And I don't mean hallucination or made up, but as projected to them as whatever that thing they're seeing.
I don't think it's a bunch of fake stories is what I think we're all trying to say.
Right. Well, yes, that's, thank you. Yeah. Apparently my mansplaining needed a lady to do it. I was going to say, whether it be a Yowie, a Yeti, a fucking whatever the fuck you want to call it. But also then you have the stories of like Wolfman, Dogman, and all these other things that people have seen somewhat in similar fashion or under certain circumstances. That to me is one of those, I would be more inclined to say that it's an interdimensional being that we would usually call a shapeshifter, what the Native Americans would call a shapeshifter. Somebody that...
Skinwalker.
Or Skinwalker, yeah, that's another great example. I think that those could all be under the same umbrella, depending on your belief system, what you were raised with, the common lore, different circumstances and things of that nature. Really quick, Nathan, can you please move so I can see that horrible background? Jesus fucking Christ. All right. Well, I saw it. All right.
I like what that idea too with the Native Americans, how they have the skinwalker. Knows how Native Americans never see a skinwalker shaped like a gray for the most part that I've heard of. No, it's always some like forest creature, something they'd be familiar with. A dog man or all that kind of thing. So
as close as they got was the ant man. Like those ant people that were underground. The way they've been described looked kind of similar to an alien gray, which I thought was fascinating. And the lore behind that was that there was going to be a huge natural disaster, and something was going to fucking destroy the earth. And the Ant-Man reach out to them and were like, "Hey, come live underground with us for a while," and kind of saved humanity. Which I find fucking interesting, dude, because I think that there are these natural resets and terrible fucking things that happen occasionally. I don't think it's global warming. I think that's retarded. I think it's natural things that happen. It's a cyclical disasters, right? And maybe the gray, I don't believe in fucking outer space. At least I don't think we can get there. And whatever these aliens are, whatever the fuck they are, I don't think that we can meet them. I think they're somewhere else. There's something interdimensional, or maybe they're under our fucking feet, dude. I like that idea a lot.
I like that idea
freaks
a lot. I see that is something only because I know I'm fucking gay, but it's under my feet. I can touch that. And then I can sit there and go down my rabbit hole of there's fucking shit underneath of us. I want to dig it up, dig to China. And the idea of hollow earth theory. And that was the actual cradle of civilization. And there's somewhere on earth, whether it's Antarctica or somewhere else, but that is where these creatures actually come from. And then they make their way down to civilization. That is so fascinating to me.
Yeah, I like where this is going already, because we've done shows on Bigfoot before, but literally none of us are versed enough or give a shit enough about actually Bigfoot to do an entire show on it all the time, because we've heard all the stories. I think everybody listens to Mysterious Universe and all these other types of shows.
Love Mysterious Universe. You guys turned me on to them, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They're great. Jen turned me on to them, and I started paying them for Plus Extension and have ever since. I will listen to every fucking show those guys do. Absolutely phenomenal. But so I've heard every Bigfoot story ever. They cover so much shit over the last decade and a half they've done the show that I know the Bigfoot lore. There's everything from psychic Bigfoot to I had sex with Bigfoot and he communicates to me telepathically to... Oh, I saw something that really stunk in the woods and then it threw rocks at me. There's everything in between of that too. So as far as that goes, I would rather look at what's surrounding Bigfoot and what the other phenomenon that happens when they see him, like UFOs or the Oz effect or all these other things.
An uncontrollable fear. Yeah. They feel sick to their stomach and super nervous all of a sudden.
And I used to rag on the psychic Bigfoot too, just because I'm like, come on, seriously. Then I'm like, well, if it is, you know, joined up with these other things.
That's
just our terms
for it. I don't think that if that's real, I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. Like, ooh, it's psychic Bigfoot. It just might put off a pheromone that reacts with us on a biological level, and it just gives us fear. Who knows?
That's going the exact route, Jen, that I was trying to get to when I first posed it, was that like, how we are seeing it or, you know, manifesting it or whatever, that is the form in which colloquially it has been accepted. If you say Bigfoot, everybody around the world knows exactly what you are talking about. When in reality, same way with an alien. If you say an alien, gray is usually what pops into people's minds, because that has been fucking punched into our heads since the 50s.
Or the super 40s. Hot Pleiadians. Blonde.
Or the super hot Palladians. It's like, how, because we don't ever know enough, we always get to the end of the story and it's like, and they didn't find shit. And it's like, okay, so because every story ends like that, we don't have empirical evidence. It's like, what if they are all the same shit? What if it's all one fucking race and they're like, let's confuse the shit out of them?
That's what I've been saying. Nate, you look like you're chomping at the bit. Please expound.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say something that you were saying earlier. It's like, this is how it's always been explained and things like that. I feel like most of paranormal and supernatural experiences are a bit of an aggregor. Like, you're not that you're completely creating it, but you kind of are, right? And it kind of, like, to me, I think this is sort of like a trickster entity. Like, this is some sort of being that can kind of appear to you however you interpret it, right? It's some sort of like some kind of fucking creature that, like, you guys kind of touched on that before. It's like, if you are religious, maybe you're going to see an angel or a demon. If you are, you know, a nut like me, you're going to see an alien with a fucking big probe, and I'm going to be like, yes, daddy. You know, there's, you know, whatever it
put
is.
Put that dick in my ass.
You're going to see what you want to see, sort of, or what you don't want to see. I think that that's kind of also a possibility. Yeah, this is a fucking interesting entity that I think that we're dealing with. But to say that it's fake is kind of ridiculous. There's been so many people that have experienced these type of things. I don't know what the fuck it is. Define
what is fake, though, and what is real. Yeah. You'd have to define that first. So is Bigfoot real or fake? Okay, how do you define those two things? Tell me that first.
Well, a good place to start here too, especially since psychic Bigfoot comes up, right? Like, if you believe in psychic abilities, period, like the like a sixth sense of any kind, right? Well, then it would almost go to say, if you believe that it's possible that sense exists, then every one of our senses can be triggered by someone else, right? Sense of touch, someone can touch you, so now you're experiencing that sensation based on them making it happen. So if there is a sixth sense, it wouldn't just be like I can communicate with other psychics. It would also be like some other force could come in and project something psychically on you, because that's how senses work. It's not like you decide what your eye's gonna see. I don't decide what my finger's gonna feel when I touch something, right? Like, if I put it on heat, I can't be like, I'm gonna feel cold right now. So it's like, it's the outside world putting its impression on you. So if there were a sixth sense and you had some weird telekinetic vision somehow, it seems less likely that you're the one creating that vision, and it's more that it's coming from outside of you. So this kind of lends a little bit of credence to the concept of maybe not a psychic Bigfoot, but something that can project what you're seeing, especially if it can go in through the psychic back door, which isn't as fun as the alien back door.
Dude, that's so funny, because that's exactly what the idea is that when somebody's seeing Bigfoot, especially if you're going out into the woods hunting Bigfoot, I know a lot of people, especially around here, have bumper stickers that are like, gone squatching, like, I'm going to look for Sasquatch. They're out there looking for that. So when they get out there, whatever this phenomenon is like, oh, that's what, because they can look in your head and they're like, this is what they want to see. But then you also see Bigfoot like phase out behind a tree and then he's gone. So it looks like it's like a hologram type of idea where they can just project whatever they think you want to see.
So I'm also not convinced that this reality is physical anyways. Like, we interpret that it's fucking physical, but this is all fake and gay. This is all a simulation. And maybe that's just one of like the admins, You know what I mean? And he wears a fucking skin. You know what I mean? He can turn his avatar into whatever he wants. And like, maybe if he's horny, he's
everybody's fake and gay. It's all fake and gay. Yeah. Who cares?
Exactly.
All right, we're done here. See you the next one.
I play that ironically because Joe from OBDM hates it when people just, you know, reduce it down to everything's fake and gay, whatever.
So I kind of agree with that, though. I don't necessarily think that, I don't want to say it's definitely all fake, but this world, the more that I read and see anyone's story about any other dimension or crazy things you can do where you can actually control how you feel something when you touch it. You can put your hand in fire and feel cold. I know there's people who can do that. It's mind over matter. I think these creatures that come in, though, I think they have a lot more knowledge of our brains than we even do. So they know they can come in and say, okay, I'm gonna fuck around in here. They're gonna see this big ape-like creature, and that's, I can do that because this person isn't strong enough to go against me. And I think we could, if we had control, if we knew how to do it, I think we actually could do that, but we obviously don't. And they just are taking advantage of our ignorance.
Our brains are computers, right? I think that like these people, they have the cheat codes. They know all the rules and they can fuck with it.
It's God mode.
Yeah. It would be a fucking blast.
Yeah. So it's kind of one-sided.
I'd be a Bigfoot every day.
You already are.
I think that it's like, it's kind of like those really well fake and gay shows, like the X-Men ones where the kids are just finding out that they have powers and they have no idea how to control it, and then they end up learning how to. I think that it's, assuming this isn't fake and gay, that it's absolutely narcissistic of us to think that we're the fucking center of the universe. If that's the case, then How much, I mean, we know more about up there than we know what's underneath of us. And if that's the case, and we can't even see the end of what is above us, why is it not, like, take away all the stories, take away all the fucking shit. Just looking at that, why would anybody assume it's just us on a rock spinning 4,000 miles in the sky constantly, and we're the center of the universe? I think that is absolutely fucking ridiculous. So, with that being said, much like X-Men, I think that there are shit out there. Whether you call it, you know, angels and demons, you know, I think that, I think that there's definitely stuff out there and we don't know what it is. And I do think that they have shit that we can't have, and that's exactly why we don't know. That as well.
This cunt behind me right here is proof that there's demons. Right here. This Hillary Clinton. Absolute proof that there's demons.
Now I get where you're going with that, Ben, and it that is a weird argument to make. Like, are humans narcissistic to think that we're the center of the universe? But if you talk to New Age people, they'll say you are the center of the universe yourself, because your reality is like a very wise man named Morpheus once said, is reality just things you can taste, touch, hear, smell, and fart, or whatever the fifth one was? If it is, then reality is nothing but electrical impulses interpreted by your brain. That is making you as an individual the center of your own universe, and everything else branches out from there. But the problem comes that everybody else is also the center of their own universe, so it's this weird clusterfuck of realities colliding.
Once people break out of that, that's when the world will become a better place.
We're getting close. Kamala might be president. Nah, we're not going there. Sorry. Thomas, you look like you're about to say something too with that big sexy beard you got. Go ahead.
Just that's my face. I can't help it. But the way, I guess this is like a new agey occult. Like, I'm 14 and I just got my first Starbucks and I browse through the like alternative religion section. But I feel like the one that makes the most sense is just that we're all a bunch of, for the equivalent of like a moon, where it's like the ancients, maybe the dumb ancients, right? They would look up and assume that the moon, if you believe that space exists, by the way, don't get triggered, Nate, but that they would look at the moon and think that the moon is emitting light. Like, the moon is a light source in itself, and that it's creating light and projecting it onto the earth, versus the Rockefeller conventional thing that's been brain programmed into us, but that it's really just reflecting sunlight, even though it looks so much like it's projecting light, it's just reflecting it. And you can be easily convinced if you didn't know that or didn't have that programmed in. And it's kind of the same thing that, like, the thoughts that you're having and, like, all the stupid decisions that you make and the good ones, to be convinced that, like, that I did that, I that came from me. It's like, it makes way more sense that it would just be another analog to, like, no, we're just, like, walking around as mirrors, and just, like, the particular angle that you happen to be pointed in at a certain time, you just reflect what that light would look like bouncing off at that angle. And that's kind of all we are. But we convince ourselves that, like, you're doing everything, you're running the whole show, and it makes no sense, just because of how many involuntary processes keep us alive that we have no control over, to think that we've got control outside of our body too. That's wild.
And meanwhile, people are shocked when AI can predict what they're going to buy or what they're going to do next.
Oh, dude, that's one of my biggest pet peeves, is people that are like, man, can you believe, you know, how incredible, look how incredible AI is getting. Yeah. And all it's the same argument when someone's like, can you believe how high gold is right now? And it's like, you guys, it's not gold that's going up. It's like all of your everything going down. And you know what I mean? Like, it's the currency going down. It's not gold going up. It's how it's always been. It's like this constant. So when people are like, can you believe how great AI is getting? It's like, no, you're just realizing how crappy your sensory inputs are. It is like low quality. Yeah. Like, we're dealing with 50,000-year-old technology versus brand new technology.
No, and that's back to what Ben was saying. Like, we are the center of the universe and all that stuff. That's also another rabbit trail of the thoughts you have. If you think you have your own thoughts, and then I created this thing from my thoughts, like The Secret or something like that, that's assuming that thought was your own and that you came up with it, and that it wasn't just part of a, I don't even know how to, you know what I mean? Like, Inception type shit, like something or someone right. incepted you to do that thought, and now you think it's yours, and I created all this great shit. And it's like, that wasn't even your idea in the first place. Somebody like handed that to you.
I don't know if it's completely outside the realm of possibility that we could do that, though. I don't want to take that completely off the table, that humans don't,
that's why it's a balance,
can't be powerful or can't make something happen. I just don't think we have the right control over it right now.
No, nobody knows what they're doing.
We could probably be doing a lot more with our brains or with whatever we have, and we just don't really know how to use it.
Have you been to Walmart lately? Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
But I think people can do things accidentally, too. I think people accidentally make things. It's like when, you know, a young magician in some fucking fantasy movie is like, bujah, and like accidentally manifests a cat or whatever.
Expecto just Patronus. By mistake.
Yeah.
Venus deletus.
Jesus.
Nate, what do you think about all that?
I don't know, man. It's interesting. As far as like our choices being our own and us like manifesting things, a conversation we had with Howdy Mikowski, kind of
love him.
Yeah, love Howdy, dude. But it was an interesting thing where he was talking about how the Archons, like Thomas, we had that conversation too. Is like, they don't really, like, you gave the fucking perfect example of like going through a mall. Like, they don't care what fucking store you go to, as long as you're not clogging up the aisles. It's like the Archons kind of fucking make a script for us, and they don't really care what it is, as long as you take your role. And so I could be a fucking left liberal, spreading my butthole, chopping off my wiener, getting a sweet new pussy or something.
Boner.
It doesn't matter, as long as I'm playing my role. And so sometimes I feel like, sometimes as a libertarian anarchist, I feel like I'm playing somebody's role, like that I'm actually like tearing down the United States, like I'm attacking the United States or something. Like, am I actually secretly working for the Russians and I don't even know it? You know what I mean? You kind of get like, it's all kinds of goofy
with
shit.
With MKUltra and Mockingbird and all these things that are the bread and butter of this community, why would you put it past anybody that that's exactly what's happening?
Like, yeah, I was actually just about to say that is, it's such a crazy idea that we live in now, where the idea of second guessing and not having immediate like patriotism to our country also makes us wonder if like we're secretly treasonous. And I'm like, you mean like fucking no questioning here. The government wasn't very the point treasonous. The whole goddamn time.
Man, I don't necessarily think it's insidious. I don't think whatever realm we're in is the worst thing in the world. I just think we have made it to expert level of the life game. And they're like, okay, shit's going to get real confusing. It's not the fucking 30s anymore. And yeah, we're just on expert level.
We're on expert?
Novice.
Okay, maybe we're just getting up to the boss level. We're not on novice. No way.
I don't know. So that's funny too, because that actually brings me, and not to pivot too hard, but I mean, this is kind of a natural segue here. But when I was telling Thomas about how I was listening to Jay Dreamers, which I've scheduled on, yay. His big thing is like a cyclical apocalypse calamity thing. And that itself is not a new idea, but Jay's idea is a little bit fresh and different than you might have heard of. And it makes a lot of sense. But I was talking to the homie JT follows JC. And I was talking to him about the other day and how he's talking about how there's all these in media, there's like representations of that idea that we're in like the small season of Satan or the apocalypse or this time when it's balls to the wall and everybody's got to fight evil. And that's the story of every video game. Of course, I like Zelda, so I likened it to that. I'm like, every Zelda game I've played, it's never in a time of peace and tranquility in a golden age. It's always, there's a threat at the top. That's the goal. We have to bring this fucking threat down. And that would be, you know, the archetype of Satan ruling the world or whatever. And he actually brought it to a more recent show, Fallout, which if you guys haven't seen Fallout, watch it. It's the same kind of idea, though, where they're like kind of in this small, you'd have to listen to that whole show. It's fucking great, but they explain it a lot better than I do. But I like that idea, and it crosses religious or ideological boundaries, kind of, even with the Vedic, you know, Kali Yuga. We're in, it's not necessarily bad, it's just we're in kind of a downswing of society, and it's happened over and fucking over again. And the golden age is, it's not heaven, or it's not like this 1,000-year reign of Jesus, even though you can think of it like that. It's just a cyclical thing where you go through this age where everything's great. Then everything starts to swing downwards because people get too pompous or whatever. And then all of a sudden you get this one main villain who's just bound to bring it all down. But that's actually a good thing, because once he brings it down and everybody rebels, then you get back to the golden age over and over and over again. There's so many video games that are like that, and basically every movie. Like, how boring of a movie would it be if you watched it and the whole time everybody's just having a great time partying? It would be fucking boring.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You mean Caligula?
I don't think I've seen that.
But that's basically everyone partying the whole time.
I mean, yeah, as far as watching it and being a part of it, that's kind of boring after a while. It'd be good for the first like 5 minutes. You're like, yeah, everybody's having a good time. Now, where's the evil guy come so they can kill him?
I feel like the universe is telling us that, though. Every movie, every video game, people are getting into it. We're like, oh, did you see that super apocalyptic movie? It was amazing. But the universe is really like, hey, like, get ready. There's some truth in there.
But you guys heard of this idea, though, the small season of Satan, Nate? I'm sure you have. You're a Christian. Like, what do you think of that? That we're actually currently in the Kali Yuga, small season of Satan. We're in the Bronze Age, or you know, whatever the opposite of Golden Age is. Like, what do you think about all that?
I think it's possible. I don't think we're there yet, honestly. I think it's going to get a hell of a lot worse.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be shitty or black-pilled, but I don't think, especially as Americans, we haven't had our fucking dick knocked in the dirt since like the 30s. I honestly think we're going to get ready for something. And how much of this is fucking fake and gay, and they're just trying to project this into our minds? But something like they're talking about. I think it was it goddamn Bill Gates that said that there is going to be a gigantic human fucking population drop, like a quarter of the fucking world population was like projected. There's some wild.
Is that when he said that by mistake? He was talking about decreasing the population with vaccines.
Possibly.
It was a slip up. I think it was like a misspeak, but yeah, it was.
I don't know. I mean, I just think that possibly this place is going to get a lot shittier before it gets good, which I think it's going to get good. Like, I'm kind of excited. Maybe we are going to bring about that golden age, but I don't know if we're going to be alive to enjoy it.
Have you met our kids? Have you met we?
We?
When you say we're going to bring about that golden age, have you met we?
It's us, dude. You, Thomas.
I don't know if I'm here to bring about the golden age, to be honest.
I don't know. Look at that shiny dome, dude. I love it.
I think it's cyclical. It will just happen regardless, no matter what.
I think it's almost like that movie Apocalypto, which is one of my favorite Mel Gibson movies.
That is one of my favorite
time.
Movies, too.
And the way that they portray how the elite have this extra level of knowledge that no one else does, and they use this to control the population. I guess, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen already, that's on you. But the whole premise of Apocalypto is this one shaman dude. He knows about the like a solar eclipse, and he tells everybody that he's going to make the sun go away. And only if they give him all these sacrifices and things will he let the sun come back. So he's got it. Like, he knows when it's going to happen because he understands the solar calendar, but he doesn't tell anyone else about this. He doesn't tell him like, oh, this happens all the time. So he acts like he's kind of in control of this, but it represents this idea of like the elite academic class that has this secret knowledge. It doesn't require supernatural abilities or living forever. It just requires understanding like this simple fact of life that no one else really gets. And what if there's a version of that right now, but like if they knew that there was a great deluge coming, or if they knew there was going to be a plasma apocalypse, to quote, you know, Jay Dreamers, but if they knew there was some sort of apocalyptic event happening, and the only options were to, like, I don't know, take to the sea or more likely get underground. If you think that we've got limited real estate above ground, I mean, just start talking about viable places where you can live a lifetime sustainably underground. The amount of real estate is all of a sudden, you know, only accessible by a tiny group of elite. And if that were also the case, you wouldn't want everyone else scrambling to get underground real estate if they knew to plan ahead, just like the Apocalypto shaman guy, right? So I think that there's probably an aspect of that. Like, maybe Noah was one of the first elites that just didn't want to tell everyone else about this flood coming because like, he wanted to get two of every animal. And if everyone knew there was a flood coming, well, they were going to try and get two of animal. And if everyone's trying to get two of every animal, you're going to go without a few animals here and there. So I think that that's probably another aspect of this.
No, I love that too, because lately, also in conjunction with Jay Dreamers and his ideas, is another, I think it's his YouTube name is Analog. I don't know if anybody's heard of that guy, but dude, this guy digs into weird, like what we would call prehistoric sites, but like in the US, I think it was under Missouri or Minnesota, one of those states over there, where people are finding like underground, not just caves, like carved out with pillars and hieroglyphs and all this shit, like under weird Midwest cities. And these things go away because the very last entry in the diary or whatever is, then we notified the Smithsonian, and then you don't hear fucking shit about it. So I think that there's his basic idea is that there's layers of civilizations, and I think that's kind of provable. Even Göbekli Tepe and other places like that, they've dug up. It's like, whoa, this is like a whole city that got buried by something. Who knows what it is? You can say mud flood or flood or whatever. But every time they go down further, there's like more layers of civilizations, and a lot of them look pretty advanced for what they would date it to. You know, carbon dating or whatever. It doesn't really match up with what science would say is happening. So I don't know. It seems like it. I'm a big fan of the cyclical thing where every so many years something happens that kind of pushes reset on the system, and then you got to rebuild from there and you start from scratch. Again, like Zelda, where you go to that one island and they're like, guess what? You don't have all the shit you've ever had. You're going to start with a stick and an apple.
Eventide Island.
It's so much fun. I love that.
So good.
Eventide Island. I hated that one at first, but there's always someone, I wanted to say, in the reset process that sticks around and gets to watch it.
Somebody always knows.
Someone. Because there's the elite. Like, they talked about, I think it was on Mysterious Universe. I don't want to like redo their stuff, but they talked about the game Werewolf. Have you guys ever heard of that game?
Yeah, the thing is based on the game of Mafia.
So I don't know that game, but I think they were talking about how it's a game you play with a group of people. There's like 10 people and just saying the werewolves know who they are, but the townspeople are the other people and they don't know who the werewolves are. But the werewolves Secret know each Hitler. Other and there's only like two werewolves just say and like eight townspeople. But the whole point is, most of the time, so they have to kill someone. Every day they vote on who they kill, but the werewolves know who to kill, and the people don't know who the werewolves are. So they're voting kind of willy-nilly. And anyway, most of the time the werewolf team ends up winning, even though there's way less of them. And the point is that an informed minority will always win over an uninformed majority, which is a terrifying concept.
Grasshoppers,
but that's
and
what
ants.
We're kind of dealing with.
The dynamics of that game are really interesting. If you're interested in that it was based on an original party game called Mafia, which is exactly the same premise, but now it's civilians versus people that were in the Mafia, and that has an even more real correlation, because you really might have been in the Mafia and not tell anyone that you were in the Mafia. And it's, yeah, I think it's a really interesting game. There's also like online versions of it, one called Town of Salem, which is really cool. They're called deduction games now, but that's all like the same sort of genre.
Is that true? Is the statistic true where the person who's in the Mafia would typically win over the people?
Yeah, well, I think that was one of the original premises of the game, was to prove how easy it was for that small minority. But then they add a whole bunch of different modifiers to it. So, for example, in Mafia, the more recent versions, you might have one person that's like an embezzler and one person that only strangles and one person only stabs. And like they make all these little nuances just so that the civilians have a little bit of an upper hand, because now all of them have like different calling cards and things with it. But yeah, it's a interesting like psychological thing that turned into a game.
So I want to hear Nate's rebuttal on this a little bit, just because you are the self-proclaimed Christian of the group. Taking everything else you know into consideration, say everything is cyclical, the things in the Bible have happened, will happen, and will always happen, because it's kind of a book of loops where this shit just kind of like repeats itself. If, like Thomas was saying, like there's a small minority of people who know what's coming, and the way they know
it's Thomas,
because
he's the Freemason here. He's the small informed minority here.
You know what doesn't change, even when everything on the earth changes? This is flat or round, doesn't matter. The stars haven't seemed to change in a long time, and they're very easily predictable. And so if you know that, and know that when a certain thing hits every so many fucking years or eons or whatever, that thing's going to happen, and you got to get downstairs so you can block yourself off in your thing, what would you do to keep the masses from knowing that? You know what you would do is make something that says, looking at the stars and astrology is all a sin. You shouldn't look at that, because that's I'm quoting the Bible, like not verbatim at all, paraphrasing. But what would you do to keep that knowledge out from the masses of the sky clock? You'd say that's a sin. Don't look at astrology because that's off limits. Then a couple of people start looking at it and they're like, wait a minute, this seems to be on a cyclic nature here, where every so often this shit happens. And then you go, wait, why would God tell us not to do that? If like, okay.
Because God didn't tell us not to do that.
I was just about to say that.
The Vatican told us not to do that because the Vatican was hoarding all that knowledge. It's all been corrupted by man. It has nothing. Yeah.
I mean, the Bible also says, real quick, the Bible also says in Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God. There's a lot of places where it does say to look at the stars, to follow the path of your ancestors, which typically, especially in those times, was by looking at the stars. I know what passage you're talking about, and honestly, Joe, I think that could be laid at the feet of the people that taught us what that meant. I don't necessarily
know teaching times, them that. So even if it's not the Bible, I'm not even saying just the Bible. I just mean the way you're taught, the general zeitgeist of a Christian is that astrology is evil.
Catholics.
It is what do they call it? Divination and all that stuff. Okay, that's fine. Right. So would it be laid at the feet of the Vatican?
Just, you better not be looking at those stars. No, drink those blood.
I definitely think that Nathan's right, because you see that whole twist in the Bible and what we know of what happened with the Bible between like 800 AD and 1250, assuming that our history is correct at all. But it's the idea that they have tweaked literally everything, including to at that same time period when the Vikings were raiding England. Think about how ritualistic they were in trying to keep people away from rituals. So it's like they did the exact thing that you're talking about, is they took something and they said, you can't do that because instead you have to do that same exact thing just in a different way.
If there was any definition of religious, it would be the Catholic Church. Look at the weird.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's weird to us because we don't do it, but with the hat.
And the little hats that suck baby cocks. I kind of have a problem with that too.
Yeah, see, there's that too.
That's going to get us kicked off of YouTube. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Yes. Well, that's fine. Meh. Whatever. Mega. Let's just make sure. So, yeah, it is weird that like these institutions that are so prolific in, well, at least this era that we live in, seem to be the ones holding the reins of everything, and also seem to be the ones holding us back from knowing what could be coming. And that's where I agree with Jay, is that it's like, it seems like this is all culminating to the end of the world type of situation. Not the end of the world like the Bible says, where it's like Jesus comes back, everybody's wiped out, you go to heaven, and then boom, you live forever on streets of gold, which sounds terrible to me personally. But like, if it is a cyclic thing and it's like, oh no, a golden age, like metaphorically, the streets are paved with gold because everything's so fucking beautiful and perfect, it might as well be gold.
And you don't give a shit about gold during that time.
No, because it's so abundant and everything's abundant. You don't got to work, whatever.
And Joe, you're also talking about the exact thing that Paul Wallace thing talks about, is like this, you know, where the streets are paved with gold. Gold being a metaphor for a very, very rare, consistent metal, exactly what Thomas was saying earlier. It really hasn't changed over time. It's us that has changed along with it. It's always going to be rare. I personally think that both of those go hand in hand. A golden age, yeah, because gold is rare. It's the thing that is a constant almost throughout all the civilizations for most of time. The same thing would be compared with the idea of an example of golden streets. I 100% agree with you that I think that those are talking about the same thing, but we have English and English sucks. And so I think that when we try to sit there and talk about these things, in so many ways, we're always talking about the same thing. But we, again, I think have been led to try and twist that with every possible avenue, whether it be language or history. All of those things have been tweaked so that we have these exact kind of discussions about, well, I know that you think this, I think this. We're all talking about the same fucking shit.
Yeah, using different language because we speak different languages and we have different perspectives. And we're using the same, having the same idea with different words. That's I don't even know how that's debatable.
I think that's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I think they try to make it difficult and challenging by, you know, language barriers and such, but we are supposed to talk about these things, or this shame, the societal shame that you feel by saying, hey, I think this weird thing, what do you think about that? And then having someone accept that and then being able to keep talking about it. That is what is supposed to happen in this world.
Right. And that is Satan to me. That is the adversary. That is the enemy of
humanity.
The
one keeping us from doing it.
It's the one keeping things divided and confused and our language is jumbled and all that. It's just all of that. And everybody fighting on Twitter about, is the dress gold or blue? Or
I don't think anyone's fighting about it.
No, we're not
just
about
like
that,
how do you see that it's blue and black? Honestly, how? It's white and gold.
I got different.
Nate, I totally hijacked your answer to my brother's question. So I'm going to, you do you.
I mean, there's not much more to it. I was just going to say, like how the Roman Catholics had to vilify the Druids was something that I was thinking about just how fucking knowledgeable they were. And so we had to hear these stories about how they were sacrificing and eating children and all kinds of wild shit. And the only stories you can find from that were the Romans who would say some wild shit like that, who had a, you know, a vested interest in making them appear as the worst fucking most evil people. And I mean, like that's the whole idea.
God, that sounds like they're Republicans and Democrats now, though.
Yeah, 100%. Except the Druids might have actually been pretty badass. Yeah, we don't have a fucking badass anymore. We just have the Republicans and Democrats who are on the same fucking side. They're on the same fucking party. They're both pro-war. They're both pro-Israel. They're both complete cocksuckers.
They're both not pro-us. That's kind of all that matters.
100%. Right. They're just rich elite cunts that are trying to milk us. And it really seems like they're trying to burn this fucking this car, I guess that's the metaphor I'm going to go with. It seems like we're all in the same fucking car and they're setting the fucking car on fire and they have a fucking plan to jump out at the last second and we're going to fucking go off a cliff. That's what it feels like.
That's the
and
same
their
thing
plans that... are different and they're just fighting about their plans the whole time and we're just in the car and they're like, shut up.
That's the question du jour every time somebody looks into chemtrails and they're like, wait a minute, so they're poisoning themselves too? Like, no, if you don't know what they're putting in, if you were to try to poison a group of people in a party where you're in the same room, wouldn't you make sure you have the antidote first or at least have a way out or a vent or something? Like, it's the same type of thing. Oh, yeah, they're spraying the skies with whatever the fuck. You make up your own mind on that. But
Bill Gates
don't think it's
releasing
hurting them.
All those fucking mosquitoes. Yeah.
Ooh, that was kind of new, too, right?
Some
new-ish.
Crazy shit, dude. Yeah.
What was it? I didn't hear about that.
He's genetically modifying all these fucking mosquitoes that were supposed to be they were supposed to be sterile so that they would fuck the other mosquitoes and they would like devastate the population. But obviously that didn't work. And there's some weird fucking disease. This is what I'm hearing. There's some fucking encephalitis that's coming around and fucking killing people. And this is, has something to do with the mosquitoes.
This is what our sources are telling us.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now.
Our source, our schizo audience, yeah, sends me articles.
Okay.
Originally, I think he was supposed to be doing like a malaria defense thing. He was trying to eradicate malaria through convincing a bunch of sterile mosquitoes to bang until they die from it and then don't have any progyny. But yeah,
through genetic modification, he was trying to just destroy malaria.
Because for some
reason, what could go wrong?
In 2024, malaria is still a thing. That's as weird to me as somebody saying leprosy is still a problem we have to worry about. Like, really, we haven't figured out malaria yet.
I'm not saying malaria is not a problem, but it's not a problem here. It's interesting that, so where are these mosquitoes? Where were they released? In South America, where malaria happens,
I believe they really like Africa. Like there's
okay. Oh yeah, proving ground.
I think that the Bill Gates likes Africa the way that the Clintons like Haiti. Like it's the same sort of crazy attraction. They just can't not help themselves to just constantly be there.
Jen, you said, you know, what could go wrong? I think. Oh, I know, and that's what I'm going to go off of. Is it's funny that you say that too because. I look at that as like, how exactly were they planning on doing this? Oh, by making sure that the fucking mosquitoes had something even more terrible then, so they can go on live TV and be like, hey, we killed off malaria. Oh, by the way, there's this fucking horrible outbreak, ironically in the same spot. Shit, what do we do now? Guess you guys need more pills. And I'm like, that's exactly what always happens is they'll sit there and say, like, we're going to try for the good of humanity to eradicate this problem, but we're going to do it by injecting mosquitoes with a way worse disease. It will kill the malaria. So we aren't liars. However, now you have to worry about that.
So I love the idea that they're that stupid or not stupid. They're just like, we don't know what this molecule does yet. Let's see what happens. Let's send this out.
100% they're doing that too.
Like, yeah, there's a chance you might die. They don't want that necessarily, but if it happens and they have more data.
I think they have to know, though, because of their... They don't... It costs billions of dollars to do whatever they're doing, and I don't think they have a $1 billion
money's not an issue
suicide issue. I'm just saying for themselves, they're not going to spend all that money to kill themselves and their entire families. That
That's
makes
fair.
No sense. So
that's fair.
I think that they must know that there is a percentage of the population that would have whatever gene could react negatively, and they just don't care. And maybe they're like, hey, let's pay it. Let's note this for our studies. And it's, well, more of, they become like variables in the study.
Right. People that don't pay them, like in Africa.
Trying to create like genetically engineered like bioweapons that would only attack certain fucking genomes and things, because they were trying to fucking kill some Arabs. And I think that that's also a tell that I think is really funny, because they try to pretend that their lineage is from there. Well, wouldn't that also kill them if they were actually from that area? They're not. They're a bunch of.
That's what I mean, is that if they're to that extent of science where they've figured out how to genetically target somebody, they would know how to genetically antidote somebody if they didn't want that demographic to die. That's my thought on it. But that's my thought with chemtrails. I mean, whether
it depends on how deep their true beliefs into eugenics go, because if you're a hardcore eugenicist, even if it's your own family that has some crazy recessive gene or deficiency, like, you would still be like, I'm sorry, like, we were homies, but you're out of here. And if you're like deeply philosophical, like a Huxley level eugenicist, you know, Darwinian style eugenicist, then it doesn't really matter. Yeah, like if I got to put some powdered aluminum up in the air or whatever else you want to consider it might be in there, if you have an adverse reaction, good. We just weeded you the hell out of the herd.
You know what? You're right. Why would we even assume that a hardcore eugenicist would marry some inferior motherfucker? They'd be like, you have to match exactly what I need because I'm going to kill you someday, so I can't marry you. Sorry. Like, they're going to marry exactly who they want to procreate with.
So it's funny, though, because I look at our elites, and I think we had this conversation just the other day, Thomas. I don't remember who we were talking to, but we were talking about eugenicists, and I'm like, our elites are not very impressive. Like, I'm looking at our elite, like, look at Bill Gates. Look at that fucking queer tranny retard. How the fuck is he an elite? And look at his gross pig wife. Like, they're the elites that are trying to control the fucking world. Like, look at Elon Musk. Like,
I don't think we see the elites. I think those are tools. I don't think we can see the elites. They're probably gorgeous.
No, they're
gorgeous
suits.
Aliens.
Like,
are they the tall whites? Are they the?
No, they want sugar water. They're Eggers suits. Like, look at Bill Gates. He's an Eggers suit. He wants sugar and water.
They are definitely the ones looking for you to turn around, gape, and say, yes, please, daddy. That's exactly what they're doing.
This actually goes super deep. And I mean, for like the Cliff Notes version of it, but there's this concept from Frazier wrote this book called The Golden Bough. And it's like this 13 book, like huge series. It will take a lifetime to read through. But one of the premises in this Golden Bough was that in the matriarchal age, and my favorite example of this might be Robin Hood, for example. Like, even if you look at the Disney Robin Hood or any version of Robin Hood, you've got this outsider that has to sneak his way into a kingdom. He has to prove himself through merit to the people of the kingdom. He has to prove his worth to the lady that he's after, usually the princess. And ultimately, not in the Disney version, this outsider hero that wins based on merit and wins the heart of the princess ultimately has to kill the king and take over that kingdom. And what that represented was a true matriarchal society where, even though it's this guy that comes in and takes over the kingdom, he gets the kingdom by getting to the princess. And it's not like he's saving the princess to show how machismo he is. He's saving the princess because the princess is the key to him becoming the king. It's the only way for him to get power. And it only happened from outsiders. And this is the exact antithesis of when we talk about like Bill Gates' milk boobs and stuff and all the elites that have got their inbred, weird, crooked teeth. Royal party stuff, right? Because that is the opposite of meritocracy. Those guys with the crooked teeth aren't going and winning competitions and proving their worth. They're there because of nepotism, because my dad's dad was in this chair, so I get to sit in the chair. And this is represented almost the best by the Bohemian Grove ritual. Bohemian Grove ritual is the cremation of care, right? And in this cremation of care ceremony, part of this whole like theatrical play they go on is an outsider tries to come in and save care, and that outsider coming in to save care, that is the Robin Hood or the Aladdin or whoever the outsider guy that's going to come
Super
in and
Super Mario Brothers,
the whatever. But the ultimate story is they're going to come in and save care and then take over the kingdom based on merit. But Bohemian Grove practices this ritual where no, merit does not win in this world. What wins in this world is if you had the money to get into this club, and if your kid was, and if you're a legacy member. So now it's really a battle between meritocracy and nepotism. And right now I feel like the Bohemian Grove is doing a literal magical ritual to constantly keep the entire country and society under this patriarchal rule of nepotism, as opposed to a matriarchal rule of meritocracy. And this isn't like girl power or like evil men. Like, this is the classical Frasier version of what of like a patriarchal versus a matriarchal society would be.
Well, you see that being played out in tribes that still practice it today. The matriarchy is much more powerful. Think about the game of chess. The most powerful piece is not the king, it's the queen. It's been represented as such in little findings throughout time and history.
That's a great the queen analogy.
Joe, real quick, you're saying PP time, keep this going. I will allow you to do that. However, my daughter's going to bed in 15 minutes, so I need to call her and say goodnight.
Oh, fine.
Sorry, whatever. I know I started late, but I'm also fucking falling asleep, so I apologize, gentlemen. Hey, it was nice talking to you guys. You guys keep it going. Thanks for partying with us. I got to get out of here.
Bye, Ben.
See you guys later. Sleeps.
Okay, well.
Love you, dude.
I do have to pee-pee, actually, and this is a live show, so whatever. But yeah, where do you guys want to go from here? Like, I'm sure you have unresolved things you want to say, so go ahead while I go drain my wiener.
I was just going to say, Thomas, is that the real left and right? Is that the actual fight? Is that the that's interesting to me. Like, because almost like you had the patriarchy, right? You had the fucking kings and the monarchy, and World War One was kind of that attack on the monarchy, right? They were trying to destroy that.
Imagine if it's you, if it's your family and everything you've worked for. And you know that you can't necessarily just pass it all to your kid, and now your kid gets to inherit literally everything that you've ever worked for, and that someone's going to come out of left field, some stranger, which is a requirement, is going to come and take it all from you. But that, like, that's better for society in the realm of this, like, golden bough of, like, philosophy, I guess, because not only do they have to prove themselves through merit, so it kind of solved, like, not only are they going to show up and they're going to be a badass and they're going to know how to, like, take charge and do things that you would expect a king to know how to do versus, like, some horrible corrupt thing, but it is almost a foolproof way to avoid the complications of incest and inbreeding. Like, it is a very practical way of enforcing that not only your daughter and your family line, essentially through your daughter's blood, not through your son's blood, is going to be the most powerful it possibly could be.
But you do that to the disgrace of yourself. So you have to basically suck as a king. So this other person takes over, is what you're saying. Like, they come in and they kill you.
You wouldn't have to suck.
Weak, you're able to be taken over, right?
So okay, when but the, I mean, as a kid, I'm a chick. I don't know what that mentality is like for you guys, but I imagine that to be a king and the ruler of all the land, you want your people to love you. You want to be doing the best job you can for them to love and support. This outsider would kind of mean that you are doing something wrong in some way. Otherwise, love that kings and rulers so much, they would revolt against that outsider and kill him. Right.
But what Thomas is saying is, like, that would be a good king, and a good king might have that right to rule. Like, maybe their people support them. But when your line gets weak, you get a weak, like a Nero, right, where you get someone that's like a tyrant and kind of an asshole, and and his power becomes, you know, it allows that person to come in and take over. Well, it needs to happen sometimes, right, Thomas, to kind of infuse new fucking blood, because otherwise you get the Habsburg.
Well, and if you go with the Robin Hood example, to go what you were saying, it's not that the king needs to suck, it's just that they're past their prime, and that the public doesn't have to hate them, but they have to love whoever the new person coming in is usually. So in Robin Hood, him winning the archery contest, he dresses up like an ostrich because he has to sneak in, because part of the golden bough is that if the king sees you coming, then he's obviously going to take you out. Because if it's so easy to spot you and take you out before you even get a chance to prove yourself to the princess, then that's your way of staying powerful and maintaining some part of power over your domain. But if they can sneak through, win the heart of the people through this merit-based, you know, archery contest, then win the heart of your daughter, like, you kind of have to give it over to them. And this is almost, it's almost the same concept of the King Kill 33 ritual, and not James just based on like the JFK Masonic kind of aspect of it. But this is also based in, I believe, like a West African tribal ceremony, and other ones, probably goes back into like Phoenician and Canaanites and stuff. But in, even in modern day, when a king has a newborn son, they'll cast the foot into like a little clay or like a mud mold, right? And part of the tradition is that if the people realize that the king is deteriorating mentally, physically, morally, if they're just losing favor, if they're a good king, then one of the practices, they'll show up and they'll just show him this cast of the kid's of his foot's his son's foot. And this is basically saying, like, it's time for your kid to take over, and they'll go and off themselves, like, out of a form of respect. Of that, like, oh, I guess, like, this is the time to pass all my energy off. Come and that's on, where man. That King Kill 33 ritual comes from. It's where you want to take out the king. You want to take out JFK at his height of popularity so you can transfer that energy to whoever the new person that's going to rule things is going to be. Like, but that's the crappy version, right? That's like the patriarchal, I'm going to control, not through meritocracy, but through having the power to control where that goes.
Well, we've seen the perfect example, right, of Joe Biden stepping down as king and handing it to Kamala.
After Trump gets shot at. So this was, like, this is a fascinating new development on the King Kill 33, where someone figured out in the formula, we don't actually have to shoot the guy that gets taken out. We just got to cause, like, an assassination attempt and then use that energy and then have another king step down. So we had the actual king step down, but if anyone had taken a shot at Joe, I don't know if it would have the same power and the energy that it did trying to take a shot at Donald.
No way. People just would have felt really bad. I mean, I feel like that's a really funny analogy. Just Trump getting shot at and then Joe stepping down was that the United States just showing him the foot, like, hey, here you go. Time to go. I mean, the media has even been saying it for a long time. So that's kind of what we've been seeing as well, is if the media is saying that Joe Biden sucks, meanwhile, 4 years ago, they were saying how amazing he was and how everyone has to vote for him or else you're killing grandma and destroying democracy. They switched real quick.
No, it's the same. As Kamala would say, that the same tired old playbook where they're just like, you just can't vote for Trump because it's Trump. And now you have to vote for this other person because it's not Trump. Have you guys seen those man on the street interviews where, and not to get too political, I don't really care, but it is funny to see how these things go in the context of what you're talking about, where you have these man on the street interviews where they're talking to apparently hardcore Kamala supporters. And they're like, what do you like about her? 9 times out of 10, you know what the answer is? It's not Trump. That is the most brainwashed shit I've ever seen. And it applies to the other side too. I'm not voting for Kamala, or I'm voting for Trump because it's not Kamala. It's the same thing on both sides. But to see the lack of, like, actual recognition of what's going on or what the policies are is mind-blowing.
That was my favorite video. They were like, oh, so they were at like a Kamala, whatever, fucking like hype thing, right? And they were like, what's your favorite policy of Kamala Harris's? And then just blank. They had nothing to answer. They're like,
she likes ovaries.
I don't know.
She wants babies dead.
No, and it's always a generality too. It's like, it's not her actual policies, because there really still isn't any actual specific policies. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that matters anyway, because every president has a policy stance that never ends up happening, or it happens halfway and then nothing and everybody forgets about it. So that doesn't matter as much to me as the people that are pushing policies on one side and then ignoring that there's no policy on the other side, or vice versa, whatever. Like,
I will say, I do think it's interesting watching all these weird fucking, whatever you want to call the deep state. You're watching these deep state actors, these people that are very establishment, fall in line and support Kamala Harris. Like, you're watching like Cheney's daughter, or Dick fucking Cheney. Dick fucking Cheney just endorsed Kamala Harris.
How weird is
McCain's
that?
McCain's daughter. All these like supposed right wingers, like, because there's no real difference between like the neoconservative and the neoliberal establishment. They want the same thing. They want a big, powerful army. They want to keep funding the fucking wars. They want to keep us. I don't know.
Don't forget too, as the Clintons' capital was building and the Bush dynasty was currently in power, Trump was basically a Clinton. Like, he was hanging out with them. He was a New York liberal Democrat. He switched essentially to start his own political dynasty, right? Oprah, but before all this, he was the antithesis of Bush.
Oprah loved Trump.
Yeah,
there's videos of it back in the day. Like,
he was another Clinton. He was just a
Republican.
He was like a richer Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot of ways, I still think he is. I think he's just narcissistic enough that they can't like control him as much as they'd like. Maybe that's the only reason why they don't like him as much.
He's like a dog you're walking that's like,
yeah,
and you're trying to go like down the other road, and you're like, no, dog.
Exactly.
So every other dog's going this way. Come on. And Trump's like, but this path is the best. I have to go down this path.
Yeah,
and
he's like, a retard. He won't stop like pissing on something and sniffing shit. You're like, get the fuck over here. That's a perfect example.
Yeah, but except he's had a whole team of dog walkers, and they're all like, sir, don't go down that alley. And like, he keeps going down the alley.
Yeah, dude, but he's also like, here's the thing, is that he's like a bad influence on the rest of the dogs, and now all the other stray dummies are like following him.
They don't realize that like, you only need the one dog that goes down all the other alleys and can mark the scents and stuff. But yeah, everyone else is like, what's that guy doing over there? That looks kind of cool.
Trump does remind me of like an English bulldog, where he's like, foreign policy.
They're eating the English bulldogs. They're eating them.
And Kamala is very well behaved. For whatever you want to give her, she does exactly what the fuck she's told.
She's a Chihuahua. Wait, that's racist. I'm sorry. What's an Indian dog? I mean, black. Fuck.
Pitbull.
Rottweiler.
I don't know.
He's a German Shepherd. Obviously.
No, she's way too much of a wiener to be a German Shepherd.
So I didn't live in this era, but do you guys know how about Ronald Reagan and how his presidency was? Because he was just an actor before he became president, right? Was it handled the same way that people are with Trump? Because Trump was an actor, pretty much.
Right, but Reagan was an actor and then transitioned into government for quite a while. And then, like, he paid his dues that like he they were definitely both actors early on, but Trump, I believe, is the first person in American history that opened the floodgates to transition directly from just being a public figure and not only not having a position in office or in government. The other two requirements, you had to be one of three. I think every other president in all of American history, you had to have a military background, you had to be a lawyer, or you had to have some other kind of government experience. Trump had none of those and went directly to president. And what happens
within
4 years, now people are like, I think The Rock can be president. I think Stephen Colbert can be right. Oprah can be president. And they're right, because Trump was
Taylor president. Swift is going to be a president, dude. Taylor Swift is going to be a president. I'm saying like 12 years from now, like three cycles, dude. I think.
She's going to start World War III.
That would be so dope.
That would be peak idiocracy to have her as president. Like, I would just probably roll over and be like, you win.
You'd probably go to jail, wear Crocs, and just put blocks in a thing for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
just drink Brondo.
Just drooling. I'm like, what? You want to water plants with the toilet stuff? I don't know. Just go to Eras Tour, bro. We'll lose our memories.
Go to law school at Costco. You'll be fine.
I couldn't believe it either. Yeah. Well, dude, before we get out of here, guys, any other words of wisdom you got? What's your final take on? So I was trying to like, I was trying to take a page from Thomas's book and like have a dope ending, but I'm not that structured. So I'm like, what's your words of wisdom? That's the best I got. Go ahead.
Thomas, do you have any words of wisdom?
I got to think about them as I hear you say yours. I got the osmosis of your wisdom is going to spark mine.
I think the biggest thing that I always fall back to is you kind of have to get out of the system as much as you can. You got to play along with it as much as you can, I guess. But don't let this fucking political shit get you down. Don't get focused on it. Don't let them tell you what to look at. Don't like go, hey, squirrel. You know what I mean? Don't let them distract you and steal your fucking mojo. Don't get your emotions involved in any of this fucking horseshit. This is all fake. The politics are fake. I bet Trump has fucked Kamala. At this point, like, I they're all the same fucking thing, dude. It's fucking bizarre. I'm also like, dude, at this point, I'm also like, I can't remember that guy's name. I think we're going to have him on the show here pretty soon. He's like a flat earth guy, but he's also big into like the actors, right? Like, he showed a thing where it's like Jennifer Lopez and Kamala. And put them side by side.
Fittest flat earther? Is that...
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, he might be fucking right, dude. These are all just actors that put
nothing's
on fucking
off
masks.
The table.
It's all just fucking, it's seriously fucking fake and gay. Pay attention to the things that actually matter. Your family, your health. Get out of the fucking system as much as you can.
No, I love that. I love to think that Kamala has blown Trump, and we're going to find out about it like the day before the election. It's like, actually, they're butt buddies. Again, nothing's off the table. I don't know. That could have happened.
Dude, you know, Kamala loves Trump, to be a side piece.
He never came because she was laughing the whole time. Boner. She'd be like, so this is the most great.
He's like, can you actually just
like,
shut your mouth?
Can you please just shut your mouth? Yeah.
Can you not talk anymore? And she's like, yeah, until the debate. Oh, false.
You're gross.
No, but
you're gross.
Just to comment on that real quick, Nate. I don't take politics seriously at all. It's more like that's my sports. So where everybody else is like, have you seen the running yards on this team and the passing?
Don't say
that. Average.
Like that.
I'm not. No, I don't know. Don't do it. See, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Sports ball.
That's how I look at it. Where I'm like, look at this moron do this thing. I don't know their stats. I just know they're both retards. That's about it. The end.
I guess my words of wisdom is that I think the best weapon that we have now is ridicule. Like, that is the one thing that it seems that people in power cannot stand. They don't have a great defense against it other than just completely silencing you. But ridicule seems to work so much more than anything else. And the best part about ridicule is you can like do it and have fun and have a smile on your face, and you don't have to get angry, and you don't have to like spit poison out at the world, which you in turn end up surrounding yourself with. Like, you can have a great time, and you can play ridicule. Like, you can take off a hat and put it back on, right? Like, the best way of method acting or character acting is that you should be able to put it on like a hat and take it back off and not have it affect you. So I don't know. I feel like that is probably the best chance that any of us have, unless you're going to rush the Capitol on J6. So I'll see you guys there on the next one. But I really feel that just memes and making fun and doing the stupid little AI videos of Kamala and Trump kissing and like all like those things are truly going to be the most powerful weapons that we have. And don't let them take away our ability to generate politicians and AI.
I got one more thing. Don't live in fear. That's the biggest fucking thing I can tell people. Is the world going to end? Is there going to be a plasma fucking reset? Are we going to, you know what I mean?
We're all going to die.
The world's
going to
Nobody actually has the answer to that. We all have a bunch of fucking theories. I've got a bunch of fucking theories. Who the fuck cares? We're alive right now. Go kiss your kids. Go fuck your wife. Drink a beer.
Boner.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the fucking life that we have here right now. That's what we have. Fuck all of that shit. Fuck the black pill. Suck my dick. Fuck the black pill.
I agree with that. There's a lot of fear. Make sure you go to work every day. Otherwise, you can't pay your bills. And otherwise, your credit score will drop. And then your friends will hate you. And there's so much fear out there. It's like, just fuck it. Just live your life. But again, that does go back to that selfish, I am the center of my own universe. So also,
I'm fine with it.
Fear, but be okay with everyone else, too.
No, wait, I was under the impression we all had an 800 or higher FICO score here. Is that not the case?
No. Sorry. Well,
oh, no. I can't talk with you guys.
Oh, well, by then.
Oh,
you're still here. No, I love it. So, Nate, I say that same thing all the time, and it does sound black-pilled to be like, who cares? In probably 40 to 50 years, I won't be here anyway. So, and not that I'm like, fuck you, kids. I don't care what comes after me, but kind of not. If the whole human race were to disintegrate tomorrow, who would care in 100 years? No one, because there'd be no one here to fucking care. If there are children
here, though, we should pass this mentality along as best we can. Just say, hey, this worked for me. You should maybe try this. When you see something negative that comes your way, try this out. You're your own person. You're going to handle it the way you're going to say it.
Way out from there.
I know.
Like if the asteroid hit tomorrow, who would care? Nobody, because there'd be nobody here to care.
Okay.
Well, another variation of that, too, though, where you can invert it, where it's like, do you really have the ego that would say that the world existing depends on whether or not you in particular care about it? And I would argue probably not. So
it definitely doesn't.
Nope. Thinking that you have an opinion on how the world goes, like it doesn't really matter unless it matters to you.
Right.
I'm just saying we should pass this along to our kids for that personal child, your own personal child, to be able to handle the negativity and possibly the world ending in their lifetime. Like that might happen to our kids. So I'm just saying, pass that on. Pass on the don't worry about it. It's going to be okay.
Get ready. Kamala might kids. Be your president.
Yeah,
for
I'm
the
not
next
saying you can
years.
Save the world. I'm just saying it's going to be all right. Just embrace the
you
impact.
You can't save the world, but you can save your world. That's all I care about.
There you go.
My family, my wife, my kids, our little world, I'm going to save as much as I can. That's the only thing that that's the only thing that fucking matters to me.
Right. And also, in general terms, don't be a giant fucking turd.
A tremendous piece of shit.
Don't be a tremendous piece of shit. Just be a small piece of shit, like Nate and Thomas.
I think
here.
A lot of people would need parameters for that. What is a giant piece of shit?
Go to Wikipedia, you fucks.
Just kidding.
Well,
no, I'm not.
I guess you guys gave your plugs at the beginning of the show, so I'll put all the links in the show notes and all that. But thanks everybody for joining. Thanks you guys for coming back. Oh, it's been a bit. And guess what? This whole time we did not get kicked off of YouTube. We'll give it a day or two and see what happens.
The strike will come.
Yeah. This Nate likes the slow burn strikes.
I'm less worried about like what gets us kicked off as to exactly what gets us kicked off.
I don't think
we're
big enough
sense.
To get kicked off. I think it's arrogant for us to even think.
The last time we did, it was fucking Nate.
We got a strike for him saying that Bill Gates was a gay. What did you say?
Don't say it again.
Oh, there you go.
We've been eating exactly what you said the whole time.
Woohoo.
Hey, titties.
Mega
everybody's fake and gay. It's all fake and gay.
Boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Okay, there. So I you know, confuse the algorithm so they don't know Nate's original joke again. Well, thanks, you guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody in the chat. And from what I can tell, it was Corey.
Thanks, Corey.
And I saw Brandon Thomas in there.
Hey.
I can't really read from this far away, but thanks, everybody. We will see you next time. Okay, bye. All right, so the live stream ended, which is better than last time. You know what I did last time? I ended the Zoom meeting, and the live stream apparently kept going for like an hour and a half till I realized it. And I was like, shit, how do I stop that? And it just, YouTube like cut it off by itself eventually. I'm like, oh, fuck. So that's,
but when you pulled up the video, it was like on contact when Jodie Foster's gone for like 0.2 seconds, but there's 18 minutes of footage. There was like 3 hours of video, but it was really just an hour.
I'm even worse.
That's exactly
at technology
how it was on
you,
YouTube.
Nate.
It was weird.
Sorry.
All right. Well, thanks guys so much. What is going on with the screens?
Multi-speaker.
Oh, there we go.
No, I do that just so it's easier on the eyes, so we don't have to. Everybody.
Oh, I thought someone was sharing
everybody.
Screen or something.
No.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thank you,
guys. Sweet. It's always fun to talk to you guys.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, same.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.